This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, of course, all our listeners know our names. We know Gene Steinberg. Some might not want to. J. Randall Murphy. We know our guest for this week, Ron Ulch. After shoveling 3 feet of snow, Chris O'Brien will be here just a little bit later on the show. But we were just talking, all of us here, about where our names began. So, for example, Murphy is something like Irish, isn't it?
Yes, originally, I believe it was Murphyburg, which was an offshoot of the King David in Israel.
Is that right?
So, Randall, wait a minute. Maybe you were Jewish somewhere?
No.
Okay, well, Steinberg tends to be German, but yeah. I was told by my late father that it was actually something different when his father came over from Austria to Ellis Island. This is when we actually allowed people to come into this country. They asked him his name, and it sounded something closer to Stettenberg or something, so they said, okay, Steinberg. And that's how it ended up being. Now, my mother's parents were Etkin or Etkins or Etkind. Okay, so we didn't want to get into that. Ron Ulch, you were telling me that your name comes from what, a Russian word?
It came from the Russian Olshanetsky, which is, I believe, has to do with an area near a place known as Olshan. So you can imagine Etsky from that vicinity near the Ukraine, you know, near Odessa. I think the family may have gone from a nearby region through Odessa, ended up coming to the United States and wrote, and I believe in our research, Rhode Island for some reason. And along the way, I gather for business reasons, if one of the, uncles or somebody back then decided that Olshanetsky wasn't going to do, so they changed, shortened it to Olch, O-L-C-H.
But you're not here to talk about where your name came from. Although that could be a discussion on another radio show, but not this one. You are here, Ron, to talk about your website, which was recently updated, UFODAP.com, which stands for what? Speaking of standing for something.
The UFO Data Acquisition Project, and that is a project that I formed that name to describe what we were trying to get to create a whole new path forward in ufology, in the study of UAPs, UFOs, AAOs, whatever you like to call them, and the whole point was forward-looking scientific data acquisition for analysis and ultimately do what science does, collect original data that can be traced in a known way, replicated, and ultimately analyzed and perhaps studied and write publishable papers.
Now, this is a question you probably are not going to be able to answer because none of us can, which is, why haven't we had something like this for the past 60 or 70 years?
Well, actually, there have been some very good attempts to do this sort of thing. There was Project Hesdalen, you may be familiar with, in Norway. They had a small building and a pole, and they had some various kinds of equipment. They even had a radar, and I don't recall if they had a camera or not. But anyway, they had a single site like that, as far as I know. The more comparative thing was done in the 1970s, I believe, which was Project Starlight International. And that's the one that I think was most successful as far as it went. I'm sure there are other ones we could cite that are equally interesting, but they custom built some very good equipment that they had a magnetometer and they could measure gravitational field, I believe, and record that. They're actually recording was on a cassette tape, I think, by modulating a tone from the data that they collected. And so they were several different instances where they would take all their equipment on a van out to some site and set it up and do some recordings. And I think they got some good results. Unfortunately, as far as I know, they didn't publish it. And they raised a lot of money. It was very expensive. But that they had just this one system. The whole point of UFODAP is in understanding and looking back at those prior attempts, which were very good, very groundbreaking. The problem was there's only one of them. The equipment was expensive, was one-off. The software was, you know, if there was any, it was just for that unique purpose. The purpose of UFODAP is to come up with modern tools that now allow us, me really, starting in 2014 as proof of concept, to use the very low to no cost off-the-shelf programming tools and hardware availability of electronics to create systems that anyone could afford. So they would be distributed more widely.
So would you sell complete kits, or would people buy the raw parts? What?
If one goes on the website you mentioned, ufodap.com, ufodap.com, right on the homepage it says get the gear. It's a little square box. And that goes to a sales site where I've created all kinds of individual items and combinations where one can put together a system with not very many items to do this kind of work. The basic items, there are two elements of software. One's called the Optical Tracking Data Acquisition Unit, OTDAU software, and the other's called Mission Control. So this one piece of software we can start to talk about is OTDAU. It communicates with one or two cameras of various kinds, of which are on that website. I offer four different kinds of cameras with different capabilities, ranging from fixed to pan tilt zoom types and an all sky type camera. You can use any of them in combination. And it can basically be set up outdoors, stay there forever. It's all weather, IP67 rated. In other words, it will withstand any kind of weather for very long periods of time. And when something moves, qualifies it in various ways, so it automatically rejects useless data like fast-moving birds and things that don't last very long and things that are too small or too large and so on, and decides what to record. And one can even use some AI built into the software to decide either right after the collection or as a batch later on whether the thing collected was a bird or an airplane as being primary candidates for rejection. That's very, very briefly what OTDAU is about.
Now, in terms of the software, you have, therefore, a way to integrate the results that may come from each individual system?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Okay, so you have these cameras set up to record.
Yes.
Now, how is the data transferred?
Well, the data is collected by OTDAU onto a local hard drive on the computer running the software. The software nominally runs on PCs, but we have at least one user that uses a Mac and the appropriate emulation software. It works just fine.
Let me just tell everybody, for the Mac, we have something called Parallels Desktop and VMware, where they have virtualization software, so they could run Windows software on the Mac with pretty good performance. Ron Ulch, UFODAP.com. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, to get into the weeds here, a lot of us know there is also a new family of Mac computers coming online with something called Apple Silicon with the M1 Macs now that's using ARM-based processors. This will not run on them right now because the virtualization software does not run Windows under ARM yet. Are you ever going to think about producing a Mac version of this?
I've thought about it, but that's a fairly big effort, and I'm focused right now on getting the basics working well. It is, you know, very complicated software. There's about I've been through about 60,000 lines of code in the last 6 years to do this. Not only OTDAU, but also mission control and the firmware that runs in the MSDAU, the multi-sensor data acquisition unit, which is, if you look at the website, it's, there's a kind of a plastic box that it has internally a Raspberry Pi and other electronics that collects data separately from video data. A whole bunch of things. We can talk about that separately.
Also, I think we'll also want to practically explain to our listeners what kind of information we're hoping to get from this system.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's many different types of data. Of course, when we're talking about the OTDAU, the optical data, it collects, of course, moving objects in the field of view of, for one case, a fixed camera. In other words, a camera that has a fixed field of view. You point it in one direction, whatever moves through there, even if it's very fast, it will collect it. The widest camera has a horizontal field of view of 98 degrees, for example. Another type of camera, of which there are several, are pan tilt zoom, where the camera is pointed initially in some direction. If something moves, it then tries to center the target in the center of field of view of that camera and continuously moves the camera to hold the target in the center of the view. And the reason it has to do that in particular is because it also incrementally zooms in to the object up to the maximum of its capability. One camera can do 12 times optical zoom and the others 30 times. Then there's the all-sky camera that's, of course, sees panoramically in every direction all at once. So the data, in any case, in those cameras is, of course, color, video, or near-infrared, if the camera is set that way. All these cameras can do that. So the data is stored on a hard drive as continuous AVI files, video files, for later analysis. Another new development that one can see in the R&D part of ufoadapt.com is a new type of camera. It's similar to the others. It happens to be 25 times zoom. But the key thing about that, for my purposes, is that the camera, the moving part of the camera, is not enclosed in a dome. So I could get access to the front face of the camera surrounding the lens. So I designed a plastic device which holds a optical grating. And you can see that in the photo on the website. That grating then creates an optical spectra of any point of light that it sees, or any lights. And also I put on the website, I believe I added to the R&D section, an initial example of the camera tracking a moving aircraft. You can easily see the two aircraft headlights, and off to the left is the spectrum of those lights.
That must be the blaze grating you're talking about.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you exactly what that's for, and my suspicion was just confirmed there. I'm not as qualified a scientist as you are, but I'm a bit of a science-y nerd, so I think that's really actually quite cool that you've done that. And I have checked out the video, so you've got a proven proof of concept here. If something comes into range of these cameras, it can detect it, and depending on which kind of setup you've got, it can follow it.
It does, yes. And not only that, but you can combine the two, the fixed camera and a pan-tilt zoom camera on a single computer running under a single copy of OTDAU. And the interesting thing about that is kind of the best of both worlds, in the sense that if you only had a fixed camera, which you can do, you can even use a plain old USB camera with the software if you got a really, really, really inexpensive system, because I think the software's at $95, and you use any old webcam and you can start to collect data. But with a fixed camera, if anything flies through the field and then flies out of it, well, you're done, right? You can't record it anymore. However, if you combine the fixed camera on the same system with a pan-tilt zoom camera, then the system can be put in a mode where when the fixed camera first sees an object somewhere come into its field of view. It calculates where in the field of view that object is, and then hands off control to the pan tilt zoom camera, which then independently moves quickly to center that object in its center field of view. The pan tilt zoom camera then does its own initial target acquisition and then continuously tracks as if it's the only camera in the system. So now that object can go anywhere, 360, 180, doesn't matter. The pan tilt zoom will follow it until it goes out of view, and recording the whole thing all the time for both cameras.
What level of technical knowledge would, say, one of our listeners have to set something like this up?
I don't think very much, really. I mean, I think there's a user guide that I wrote. It's about 150 pages, but it covers all three types of software and systems. There's another guide which in detail describes, it's called an installation guide. It helps figure out what to get and how to set it up and physically connect it and all those things. With all that information, plus me personally, I help anybody who tries to get a system to I'll help them select the components and set it up right and any kind of issues at all. But basically, to basically run OTDAU, for example, the optical tracker, and connect a camera and get it to do something is not terribly difficult, in particular because I've provided a whole bunch of what are called configurations. You just pick a configuration based on the type of camera and its resolution. A lot of these cameras have multiple resolutions. You pick which one you like. And you load, quote, load the configuration. You click on one button, it loads it up, and you wait a little bit. You see an initial image, and then you click a button, pseudo button kind of says start, and it starts waiting for something to move. That's the gist of it. There's a lot more to the software than that, of course, and it's the kind of thing a person would have to learn over time to do more and more with.
Now, we're talking here, ladies and gentlemen, about a project to be able to acquire cameras and other equipment to record possible UFO-related events. Of course, any kind of weird thing that's happening in your vicinity. And this is a way to spread the technology to the masses. And I assume this is something you can do anywhere in the world. Because as long as you can go online, listen, it's UFODAP.com. More to come with Ron Ulch. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC is issuing new guidelines around the Pfizer COVID vaccine after reports of some people having severe allergic reactions to the shots. The health agency says that those who had a reaction to the first dose of the vaccine should not get the second, and anyone who has had a severe allergic reaction to other vaccines should consult with their doctor before getting inoculated. In the UK, Britons are bracing for a Christmas under lockdown, as Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced Saturday new, tighter coronavirus restrictions. London and areas in southern England that have seen surges in COVID cases will now fall under new restrictions that will prohibit non-essential travel to and from those areas and ban the mixing of households. Johnson says he couldn't see any other alternative to try to control the spread.
When the science changes, we must change our response. When the virus changes its method of attack, we must change our method of defense.
This is USA Radio News. More Republican lawmakers are adding to the voices calling for California Democrat Eric Swalwell to step down from his position on the House Intelligence Committee after revelations came to light that Swalwell was involved with a suspected Chinese spy. Congressman Jim Banks says House Democratic leadership is turning a blind eye to the potential danger. The Indiana Republican tells Fox News that this is part of a wider strategy from the Chinese government.
This spy herself was involved in his organization. So you start piecing this together, and it tells us that this is a part of a very deep strategy by the Chinese Communist Party to infiltrate our government. And in this case, Eric Swalwell is privy to the most highly classified and sensitive information that's provided to any member of Congress serving on the House Intelligence Committee. This is a real threat. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is turning a blind eye to this threat, I think is probably a sign of what we're going to see into the future.
This is USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameramen were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Just a quick announcement about last week's episode of the Paracast featuring Preston Dennett reporting on all sorts of fascinating UFO cases. Due to some kind of network error, in the second third of the show, two of the four segments, which starts at 81 minutes into the show on the regular version, they mixed in the previous week's show for two episodes. Don't ask me how that happens, because we send them 12 separate files of each episode of the Paracast, dated and everything, and they use some kind of ledger domain to adjust that and link it with the commercials for the network. So two segments out of 12 are wrong. I've uploaded to our site, theparacast.com, a corrected version of the show. This is our December 13th show with Preston Dennett. So if you've listened to the wrong version, download it again and you can listen to the right version. You can start at the point where you left off, or just subscribe to the Paracast Plus, where you get the correct version free of network ads and all this misery. Check the Paracast.plus for more. Ron Ulch is here. He's talking about not just setting up a network of UFO detection cameras, but how you can now buy the equipment and set it up yourself wherever you are on this planet. You have anything near an internet connection so you could send the data. How long do you think it's going to take, Ron, before you have a reasonably sized network of people here?
Well, I wish I could answer that. Right now, one can go on the website and there's a map of the sites that we do have, which is only a handful so far, because we, you know, it's just been the last some weeks that the website got recreated, which I rewrote, and is much more navigable and a lot more information. And we have a whole new collaboration, which is going to come into play with the group called UFO Data, which has been around for a while. UFO Data folks, which is, I think you can go to, one can see their website also, UFOData.net, I believe. And they had the same plan, totally independent and unknown to me, to develop the same kind of equipment and analysis, but they could not, for whatever technical reasons, get the equipment together. When they found out about UFODAP, they and I said, wow, let's do this together. And so I'll provide all the data collection equipment and software, and they'll provide a repository for uploading data, and a team of analysts who will go through that data, which is the plan. So we have this great collaboration going to do that.
That's really fantastic. I was going to ask you if you had approached any other UFO interest groups like MUFON, QFOS, or the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies.
In fact, UFODEP and UFODATA are integrally involved and members of the SCU.
Oh, fabulous. So are they going to actually be buying this equipment from you then?
Well, they, over the years, had raised some money, and they provided a certain small amount of it to UFODAP earlier in the year as a sort of a grant to help us add an additional camera and a multi-sensor unit to our existing camera installation in the San Luis Valley, Colorado. We have a camera now. Because of the COVID crisis, instead of being able to build it, install it in the first or second quarter of this year, it all had to get put off. So we're hoping to go ahead and do that next year. But meanwhile, we are continuing our mutual R&D and development efforts, raising more awareness, and your show is a wonderful part of that. And we will be mutually working together to get all these moving parts working smoothly together.
So a couple of questions about this is because I'm not entirely clear how the whole thing works. Now, what I was initially assuming, and you'll have to correct me here if I'm wrong, is that as people in different parts of the country or around the world connect up these systems, do they coordinate in a central location so that someone at that central location can view all of the cameras that are connected?
Well, not directly, no. The idea is that because of the nature of the software and the nature of the systems, OTDAU is sitting continuously monitoring unattended, so there is no continuous stream. Some of the early projects, like we were talking about, tried to simply set up cameras and nothing more, and sometimes record them with your typical security camera kind of software. And you'd end up with these humongous files, which who would want to go through all of that? Because 99% of it would be worthless, right? So one of the big innovations is to have the software recognize qualified events and whittle that data down into something much more manageable, and also recognize events which are unqualified on a number of levels. As I said, even using some AI techniques to recognize birds and aircraft and either reject them or just label the files as such.
Okay, so we're not talking about live streaming here, then.
Not at all. No, that is sort of a mistaken way to go about it. That was made it all very infeasible. So what really happens is there could be a camera set up local to the operator's computer in his own LAN, or it could be like we have out in the San Luis Valley. There's just a camera on top of a building on a ranch out there. You can actually see a picture of it on the website, on the very homepage. And that camera is connected through the internet to me here in Southern California. And OTDAU runs on my computer, as if the camera was on my own home. It's that the amazing internet. And so I can stream HD video, 360/24, and it will continuously monitor that and record it. So to answer your question better, the way this would really work is there would be cameras in various places, computers in other places, but the net result is the files that are collected, whoever is operating that computer would take a first look at them and say, here's something I think that might be worthy of analysis. And then they would upload that to the website that will be created by UFODATA. That's the whole point. They're developing right now a sophisticated repository for such data and all the means to protect it and distribute it and share it with the appropriate people or users or uploaders or the public in a scientific way. So that's one type of data that those folks would be going over. there's a whole other kind of system that's very exciting about UFODAP. And that is the MSDAU, the Multi-Sensor Data Acquisition Unit, totally distinct from video camera data, right? So what it does, it's a box that has a, its own little computer, happens to run, you know, version of Linux. All the software I'm speaking of, by the way, is all it's all written in Python with all kinds of the cool stuff that goes with that, and it, including the embedded MSDAU. It has about 15 different modalities of data collection. I mean, it knows internal temperature and pressure, and it knows it has a magnetometer, 3 degree of freedom magnetometer, that is X, Y, and Z directions, fluctuations in the magnetic field that can be detected. It also has several accelerometers, which measure basically changes in three dimensions of the gravitational field. So, in addition, in that box is a GPS. So the unit can, wherever it's installed, it can report exactly where it is, which is very important. And in addition to all that, it has a software control radio, which is tunable from about 25 megahertz to 1750 megahertz.
Let's do our break here. Ron Ulch joining us, UFODAP.com, setting up a network of detection equipment to catch the flying saucers in the act. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Ron, before we get more into the weeds here and we get more into your project and where it's going, how did you first get involved in being interested in UFOs?
Oh, great question. Well, like many people, way back when, probably from the 60s at least, I started reading things that were available back then like everyone else, got really interested in it, and as an engineer, felt that there was some nuts and bolts to it. I mean, I kind of come from that. I know there's other ways of looking at it which are equally valid. That happens to be my interest. Along the way, I developed an interest in instrumentation. In other words, ways of detecting such objects, collecting data about them in a whole variety of ways. I mean, at one point, I even built a device that intended to be in the house where somebody who claimed to be abducted would be, and it would automatically detect movement in the room and start video recording and audio recording. Ultimately, I didn't do that because it seemed like a big liability, as you can imagine. But in any case, to get back to the main question is, I got interested in all that, and when I was a graduate student at UCLA in the computer science department, having been there since about 1969, to get my bachelor's in engineering, there was a guy named Shlomo Arnon who decided to form a UFO research group. And at that time, I was really interested and joined him and a few other people. I managed to get us some meeting space in the computer science department. This was the mid-70s at that time. And it turned out that group, which in over the years included all kinds of people in the UFO field, including, for instance, Ann Druffel, who passed away just this year. We met every single month at one person's home or another and shared information and knowledge of all kinds. And we met up in person to person only until a few years ago and kept up all of our mutual interests that way. As a matter of fact, because of COVID, when we all got so Zoom conscious, we started the meetings up again, and now we're doing them again by that means for the last several months. But I must say that unlike most of the people who are deeply into this field that I've ever heard of, I must be unique because I haven't had my own personal experience.
Well, not completely unique, Ron. I haven't either.
Yeah. Well,
do you feel deprived?
Yeah.
I always wonder, though, some people who may have a lot of courage talking about UFOs, if they see one themselves, they'd be scared out of their wits. Not a scientist like you, but, you know, some people.
Yeah. You know, as you know, that varies across the board. Some people are scared of the wits, never want to have anything to do with it anymore. Other people are drawn toward it like we are. And so it's fortunate that some people come to that so that we have people like you and I who care enough to do something about it to enhance our understanding of the world.
What you were just talking about there sounded like what is in your biography, the Los Angeles UFO Research Group, which you were a founding member of, which you say in your biography met monthly from 1973 through 2015.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, kind of amazing. We were a little group by invitation only. We wanted only the people who had the knowledge and capability to follow through with it to be involved. And that's what we had.
What kind of people came across to your organization? Strictly scientists and engineers or what?
Well, you know, there's Anne Druffel, for example, who's an author and researcher. There were people that we had several people who are medical doctors, such as Dr. John Miller, who actually hosts a camera. He has one of our cameras on his home in San Pedro overlooking the ocean, for example. There are people like other engineers, one of whom who hasn't been with the group for a very long time, but he was motivated to do research and built a system and wrote it up, who demonstrated how automobiles could be stopped by UFO electromagnetic fields and then spontaneously restart. That was something that, you know, we had heard reported in cases, but couldn't figure out, well, how could that ever work?
You bring up an interesting point here, because we've discussed it on the PowerCast, these reports of so-called electromagnetic interference. But the question being here is, when the engines start up, was that a matter of the driver just manually starting the engine again, or was it spontaneous?
No, what Joe Thomas was his name, what he discovered was it could be spontaneous. But remember that the systems he was reviewing at the time were back in the day with spark plugs and distributors and that sort of early system.
I looked into that fairly extensively at one point myself to try and trace back exactly what happened with these situations. And in all except for a very tiny percentage, it turned out that while the car did stall, the people were able to start it, but they started it themselves. And so this idea that they were, you know, always there was this large percentage of cases where the cars just spontaneously started, you would just say, well, if you heard that, it was probably just somebody making it up. And I think that even the small amount of cases where people say that it happened, they were probably just making it up. They were probably just saying that because it's just what people do. They exaggerate their experiences because they hear that this is going on, and therefore it sounds more mysterious to them.
Well, that may be true, but regardless of what actually happened in particular cases, what Joe was able to show is that it was theoretically possible for it to restart by itself. Whether it ever did in any particular case is another thing.
Okay, so let's have that question. Let's cut to the chase. How is it possible to cause this to happen?
I mean, I don't know if I remember the details of that. Research was just, might have been 20 years ago. The electromagnetic field would induce magnetic currents in the wiring of the car. And if it was at the right frequency and energy, it could disrupt the ignition to the extent where it become unsynchronized and the spark plugs wouldn't fire correctly and therefore it would stop. And how it restarted is a murkier to me right now. I do remember that he figured that out, but I'd have to get the paper in order to remember what the point of that was. But
sure. Yeah, I could see how it would be possible in certain circumstances. For example, if the ignition key is left on. Mm-hmm. Now, if the ignition key is left on, okay. If it can stop it, it can probably start it. But if that ignition key is turned off, there's no way to get an electrical circuit.
Yeah.
Right? So, if a person's car stalled, they might not have thought to turn the key back into the off position.
Oh, very. I mean, you can imagine their state of mind when this was going on. Sure, they would just leave it, you know.
So, I mean, you know, maybe I'm being a little too critical there, but yeah, no, interesting stuff.
Yeah, that just illustrate, you know, your question of what kind of people we had involved. And these were scientists, engineers, authors, doctors, And but moreover, whoever they were, they had a deep interest and a long time interest and a good background in educating themselves about the subject. And so they could contribute to the group. And that's what LAUFORG did.
And I imagine that probably some of them at least had had actual UFO experiences themselves.
I think in some cases they did. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't recall it was a really big part of why they were involved. You know, for all of us, it might help. But what was important is their contribution to our mutual understanding through meeting together and sharing insights.
Did you have a publication or do you have any way we can look up the work that you did?
Unfortunately not. No, that's just, you know, it was. Yeah, no, this it's a, just a private group, and it's, I don't believe it's ever been written up, you know, exactly what all went on. It would, you know, it was
what
just
would be really cool is if you can, if you do happen to have any of those papers, that you would, your authors or contributors from your group would allow to be put out there, is to add them to the UFO DAP site.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting, you know, revive it a little bit.
That's a good suggestion. I should go back and look and see. I do know of one particular paper that was published that anybody could go find. And that is one of the folks in our group. Let me see. I'll look it up here.
While he's looking it up, let me remind you. It's UFODAP.com. Ron Ulch is the webmaster and chief cook and bottle washer and all that good stuff. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.